I want to share a message tonight with you in Matthew chapter 15. If you could turn to Matthew 15. We'll read starting in verse 22. It says, "And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent. He answered, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the power that is within your word. Pray that you would use that to penetrate our minds and guide us and direct us. We would find the path that you need us to be on, and that we would hold to that path, Lord. We'd be faithful. We would press forward and accomplish the task that you put in our hands. Let us not waver. Give us strength. Give us compassion and mercy. Help us, Lord, to do your will in this life that we lead. In your name we ask. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But I want to first present to you a thought. I want to present to you a thought about this lady and her daughter. And what I want you to think about tonight is this. What is your mission for the Lord? What is your mission for the Lord? Now, we all have missions in life. We take care of our families. A husband goes and works, and he makes sure that he's able to put together what's needed to take care of his wife and his children. The mother helps. Sometimes she works, and she also works to make sure that they have the money to keep their home and to feed the children and take care of the children. So the mission is to take care of the family and make sure that they do the right job and they complete that task of taking care of the family. That's not the mission that I want to talk to you about. The mission I want to talk to you about is the mission that we have for the Lord. It's a personal mission. Now, when we consider our personal mission for the Lord, we have to keep in mind, what is the mission of the church that we attend? And what is the mission and vision that the pastor has put before the church? And when we look at our personal mission, we should incorporate those thoughts and those ideals into what we're going to do for the Lord. And this woman here, she had a mission. Her mission was very clear. It was her daughter. Her daughter was vexed, the Bible says. In other words, her daughter was in an extreme situation of being grievously vexed by a devil. And so here she finds that she's in a situation that she needs help. Obviously, she has gone looking for help for some time. It's not just all of a sudden she's going to Jesus to get some help. It's just that she's not had an opportunity to go to Jesus till now. But obviously she has been working on her mission. And her mission is to help her daughter. And so I want you to ask yourself that question. What is my mission? Now tonight I want to look at four things that's important to understand about her mission. And it'll be important for us if we're to fulfill the mission of this life that God has given us to accomplish. And I assure you tonight, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're saved and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a mission. It is not the pastor's of the church that only have the mission. It is not the ones that are the assistants or the Sunday school teachers that are to have a mission for the Lord. No. It's not the missionary only that should have a mission for the Lord. It is every single Christian that is alive. God has put you here for a reason and a purpose. And you need to find out what it is. Because everybody has a mission. So I want to look at a few things about this woman and her mission. The first thing I want you to note is this. Her mission was to change a life. Listen, every single person, our mission in life for the Lord is to see a life changed. That is our mission. All of us have the same mission, is to see a life changed. And in this instance, she wanted to see her daughter changed. She wanted to see her daughter revived and have her life back. Look what she says when she comes to the Lord in verse 22. It says that she's a Canaanite woman. So she's not a Jew, she's a Gentile. It says, and she came from the same coast, cried unto him. So she is really expressing herself to the Lord. And she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. So the first thing she does is she lets the Lord Jesus Christ know that he is the Son of God, and she knows it. It's very important that she was letting him know that, because she is fighting against the devil, because her daughter is vexed by a devil. She realizes that Jesus has the power and the ability to free her daughter. And so she comes to that source of that power. She wants to get Jesus to be interested in her situation and to do something about it. So she tells him, thou son of David, have mercy, have mercy. And she says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She wanted to see a life change. You know what she was? You know what her mission was? She was a difference maker, a life changer. Is there not anybody that comes to mind that needs for maybe you to take them on and be the difference maker or the life changer for their life? Someone that you would intervene for to the Lord, and that you would be just as this woman presenting to the Lord their situation and asking God to do something special for that person. It would be a great thing if we all could just find one person, and that we would take on the mind that this woman had to be a life changer, a difference maker for someone. Because I promise you, we all needed someone. We all needed someone. For me, it was a Jew named Jeff Goldstein. I mean, I was definitely on my way to hell. I remember when Jeff Goldstein asked me if he could come visit me. I was in the military. I had met my wife in the States, and we got our first assignment to Japan. And I was in the military, and I had to go to Sergeant Goldstein's office every day and take certain paperwork, drop it off, and he would get it signed, he'd stamp it, and then he'd bring it back to me. And the whole time we were sitting there waiting for this paperwork to get done, he would be talking about the Lord. And what Jeff Goldstein didn't know is that I was a rough person. I grew up in a home where my dad drank every night. There was fights every night. I remember hiding under my bed many nights so that if my dad opened the door, he wouldn't see me in the bed, and then he would go to the next room. And I remember going into the United States Air Force to get away from my mother, because she was trying to control my life, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do, because I started drinking and smoking in front of my parents when I was 13 years old. I remember how bad my life was and how bad I was, because by the time I ran into Jeff Goldstein, I was going home every day from work, and I was drinking so that I could go back to work and finish my day at work. And then Jeff Goldstein for 6 weeks, I told him all kinds of things, Pastor. Listen, I don't even like you. I would tell him things like that, just thinking he would leave me alone, you know. I don't want to see your pastor. I don't want to know your pastor. I don't want your pastor coming to my house. Just give me my paperwork. I just want my paperwork. That's what I told him. Oh, Jeff Goldstein, he didn't give up. He kept on. You know, somebody needs us to make them our mission. They need our prayers. They need our interceding on the behalf of their soul. We all need to have the mission of making a difference and to be a life changer. It should be our desire. It should be something we embrace. It should be something that we think about constantly. Who can I help get to know Jesus Christ? The second thing I want you to notice about this woman is that her mission was found to be without interest. It was found to be without interest. Sometimes we think, wow, I've got this great desire, this great mission to, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to work on this person. I'm going to do what I can to help them. But nobody's, they're not interested. I know I wasn't. I didn't want any help. I didn't think I needed any help. But then not only is the person you're trying to help, maybe they won't be interested, but there's an untold number of other people that aren't interested. They're just not interested. You say, well, how do you know she didn't have any interest in it? Well, right here in verse 23, it says, after she told him about the situation of the daughter, it says very clearly in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. She poured out her heart. She cried to the Lord. She said, my daughter needs your mercy. She needs your help. But the Bible says that Jesus answered her not a word. Listen, this woman had a mission to accomplish, but she went to the very source that she thought, the very power that she thought that she would be able to attain to take care of her daughter, and she presented the situation, and the Lord answered her not a word. Most likely, she said, well, maybe I made a mistake, you know, because he's got all these disciples with him. So let me go to the disciples. And she goes to the disciples and she tells them the same thing. And she's crying to them and she's pleading with them, because we find here in the same verse, it says, and his disciples came. Now the woman's come to Jesus. Now the disciples have come to Jesus and besought him. Now they're requesting some attention, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So now this woman, who thought she had some help from Jesus, and she didn't get any, she thought maybe the disciples would help her. They didn't help her. And here this woman has to be getting very discouraged about her mission. She has to be contemplating somewhat about her mission, and is her mission going to be a possibility? Is she going to accomplish what she came to Jesus to accomplish, because she needs his help? And Jesus takes time. He replies to the disciples. In verse 24, he answers, it says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus, when the disciples came and pleaded, hey, help us out here, you know, send her away. Jesus said, hey, I'm sent here for a purpose. I have a mission. And my mission is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is not a Jew. She's a Canaanite woman. She's a Gentile. She's not privileged to receive that which God sent me here for. She's not part of that group. She's a Gentile. I'm sent to the house of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what Jesus said to her, his disciples. The third thing I want you to see, the first was that she needed to see a life change. The second was that there was no interest in her mission. And then the third thing I want you to see here is her mission needed help. Her mission needed help. This woman, she said, well, Jesus hasn't answered me. The disciples have asked me to be sent away. But if I can't get to Jesus or the disciples, my mission is done. I'm finished. If Jesus won't help, if he doesn't see the need and he will not help my mission is over. Because it will require his power. Because he has the power. So the woman realizes that, hey, she has to do something. Or her mission is totally in jeopardy. You ever been that way in life? With anything? To where you just feel like you're seeking, you're asking, you're going to the right people that should have the answers for what you're facing to accomplish something in life, and no one has any good advice that helps you get closer to getting it done. You ever had that happen to you? I remember many times sitting over in the Dominican Republic asking the Lord, Lord, you brought us to this part of what we're doing, and we're sitting here, and it's not going to happen. I remember when we started the seminary. When we started Resurrection Baptist Seminary, that was part of our mission, what we had to get done. And we didn't have any money, and we didn't have anybody that knew about the fact that we wanted to start a seminary. And I remember going to my wife, and I said to my wife, you know, honey, we have an emergency fund. She said, yes, we do. I said, yes, $5,000. She said, yes, we have emergency funds. She said, that's for emergency. I said, honey, I said, it's an emergency that we start the seminary. I said, we need to start a seminary. We need to start training these men. We need to get them ready. Because God put us here, and we need to get these men ready. I said, what do you think about using that $5,000 emergency fund to buy all the materials and get a place and get the food for the seminary? And my wife said, well, she said, I think if we use it, we won't have any emergency fund, but if you feel like God wants us to do that, I agree to it. Done deal. I took that $5,000 and I went and I rented a place to have the seminary in, and I prepared the men to come, and we started out with 23 men. And we got the materials and all paid for, and we had the food, and for 4 weeks, everything was wonderful. The men would come, we would teach them Friday nights, all day Saturday, they go home, we help them. We had men coming from as much as 4 hours away for our seminary training. I had 7 men that came to our seminary, and they would walk. Okay? They would start walking for 4 hours to get to the bus stop so that they could come to the capital. That was 4 hours from where they were living. Every week. And then we got to the fifth week. We had no money. Had no money. I had nothing left. And I was thinking, oh, what are we going to do? These men are going to show up. I can't even get in touch with some of them. We have no money for transportation. We have no money for food. I was young, inexperienced, not very smart. But I wanted to do something for the Lord. I can tell you that. And I started praying and praying, and just I finally called the assistant director, and I said, hey, Brother Jerry, I think we have to cancel the classes tomorrow. So on a Thursday afternoon when I called him, I said, I've been trying to get a hold of you because I don't know what we're going to do. These guys are coming, and I don't have any way to help them. And they're coming because they think they're going to have classes, and we're going to help them to get back home after they come. Jerry said, Bro Ronnie, did you get any messages from me? I said, no, sir. He said, Bro Autry, someone sent a check to the mission board for $10,000. for the seminary. I said, well, we haven't even written a letter about the seminary yet. He said, well, all I can tell you is $10,000 is in your checking account. And it's an anonymous giver. Let me tell you something. We got a big God. Somehow, somebody, God sent it. We ran the seminary for a long time on that money. A long time. By the time that money was running out, we already had people interested and knew what we were doing, and they were helping us. We can't waver. She needed help. She kept going back to the source. Look here at verse 25. It says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You see, she changed her approach to our Lord. The first time she came, she asked him for help, but it was for her daughter. Now when she comes to the Lord, we see that she's coming and she's in a state of worship. She worshipped him. And then she says, Lord, help me. You know what that woman realized? You can't bring people to the feet of Jesus if you're not at his feet first. Sometimes people tell me they go out, and they try, and they say, I have no luck. I tell them, don't use the word luck when we're talking about the Lord, okay? I said, just can't bring anybody to the Lord Jesus. Just don't have any fruit from all my work. You know, I think this is the way that woman was. She'd been working so hard on changing her daughter's life and finding a solution for her daughter. She finally realized that if she could not first have her life straight with the Lord, how could she ever help her daughter? She said, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. It's hard to bring people to the feet of Jesus if we're not already at his feet. But when we're at his feet, things change. Things get easier. Things happen that we don't know where it's coming from or why it happened, but it happened all of a sudden. Just got done. She was at his feet. Help me, Lord. So now Jesus is listening to her. We see that Jesus is going to respond to her, verse 26. She's let him know that she needs help desperately. And he's her only hope. She's depending on his help. And he says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. So now I'm imagining she's discouraged by now, right? First, Jesus wouldn't answer her. Then the disciples came and asked for her to be sent away. Now she has Jesus' attention because she's worshiping him and she's letting him know that he's her only hope and that she needs his help. She wants help for herself. Jesus says, it's not meet to give the children's bread, the children of Israel's bread, to the Gentile. That's what he says. So, well, Brother, he said dog right there. I said, yeah, he said dog there because back in those days, it was a normal thing for the Jews to refer to the heathen as dogs. And she was definitely a heathen. Now, if he would have said that today, they'd have probably arrested him and he'd be sued by now, you know. But back in that day, he said, hey, I can't give you what belongs to the Jews. I can't pass to you the blessings of the Jews that are for the Jew. I can't give you what belongs to them. She needed help. But the last thing I want you to see here is that her mission was fueled by unending faith. Listen, this life is not complicated. In fact, if we believe, and we see this over and over in the Bible, if we believe, things happen. And she believed. She believed in the source of the power that would bring her daughter from the place that she was into the resting place of being whole again and not having the problem of the devil that had vexed her. Remember, Jesus wouldn't speak to her in the beginning. The disciples wanted her sent away, and now she's been told by Jesus, hey, you're not the right kind. You're not a Jew. I can't give you what belongs to the Jews. You're a Gentile. In verse 27, she responds to what Jesus has said to her. It says that, and she said, truth, Lord. That was her response. Truth, Lord. She said, Lord, you're right. I have no right to ask you to give to me what belongs to the Jews. I have no right. It's the truth. I am a Gentile. It's the truth that this goes outside of what you came for. You said you came to the lost sheep of Israel, and I am definitely not one of the lost sheep of Israel. She said, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. But this woman is not giving up. She's not going to give up. I remember being down a few years back in Tampa, Florida, and I had my 5-year-old granddaughter with me and my wife. And we got in the car to go somewhere. My wife had some errands to run. And Haven was sitting in the back seat, in her car seat. And I was getting in the car, and I cranked it up. And Haven says, Paw, you know what? I said, no, Haven, what? She said, I love McDonald's. I said, you love McDonald's? She said, I love McDonald's. I said, what do you love about McDonald's? She said, I love that Happy Meal. I want the Happy Meal with a grilled cheese. A cheeseburger, and I want fries. And I said, what else you want? She said, I want the apple slices. But she said, you want to know what I really want? I want the fries. That's what she wanted, the fries. I said, okay, Haven. We run grandma, your grandma's errands, and then I'll take you to McDonald's. She's back there having a good time. She's all excited. So I put the car in park. I backed up, and I started going out of the apartment building. And Haven goes, Pawpaw, do you know how to get to McDonald's? I said, well, I have a phone, and I can put the McDonald's in there, and it'll tell me how to get there. Haven, don't worry. We get to McDonald's, I promise you. Okay, Pawpaw. We got down to the exit. I turned out, and then Haven spoke up again. She said, Pawpaw, are you really going to take me to McDonald's? I said, yes, Haven, I'm really going to take you to McDonald's. Just got to run some errands with your Lola, and after we get done with that, we go to McDonald's. Okay. We got about a quarter of a mile to a red light, and Haven spoke up again, and she said, Pawpaw, are we almost at McDonald's? I looked at my wife. I said, you got to do your errands later. We got to take the girl to McDonald's right now. She needs to go to McDonald's. You know something? Haven was bound sure to get to McDonald's because she was talking to her papa. She knew that if she got my attention, there was no way she wasn't going to McDonald's. And this woman knows she can just get the Lord to see her as one of his own. There's no way he's going to turn her away. Look what it says right there. She says to him, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, Lord, you're right, I'm a dog. And you're right, Lord, I'm not a Jew. And Lord, I don't want the position of the Jew. I don't even want a full plate of food that the Jews would have. I don't want their place. I just want you to know that I'm a dog and you're my master. You know something? I'm not a Jew. I'm just a dog. I'm just like this woman right here. I'm just a dog. And you know what? All she wanted was just the crumb from the master's table, her master, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would care for her daughter. She said, the dogs get to eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, Lord, you're my master. She said, you are my master. You are the one I answer to. You're the one I come to. You're the one I depend on. You're the one I trust in. And when we were in the Dominican Republic, we had a dog named Rambo. Rambo was a Dachshund. And he loved to kill rats. And in the Dominican Republic, the rats we have, the cats are no good. Because cats there run from the rats. They won't even mess with the rats. The rats are big. But not Rambo. Every morning when we get up, go downstairs, Rambo would have at least one, sometimes two or three rats he had killed. Now, he wouldn't eat any of them, but he would kill them. He would slay them, and he would bring them, and he'd put them at the door so we could see what he had done. And Rambo, buddy, he's my buddy. And so when it was supper time, Rambo stayed in the house. He was an inside dog. His bed was right there on the other side of the dining area, and there was a little living room area on the other side of the wall, and there's where his bed was. And every night when we'd sit down with our kids to eat, Rambo would be out there, but Miss Chona, she said, Rambo, go get in your bed. And he would. He would go get in his bed. But as soon as Miss Chona would sit down and start serving the food to the boys' plates, Rambo would come out and get right beside me and sit there beside me. And I would immediately start cutting on my plate. And I would always reach over and grab a little piece, and I'd be looking at Miss Chona, and I'd slide it down the Rambo. And he'd take it, he'd run over to his bed, he would eat it, and come back. And the entire meal, Rambo would keep coming beside me and begging and getting something to eat. Because I was his master. And he knew that I would not deprive him of that piece of meat or whatever I had on my plate. You know the unique thing about what Rambo got? Rambo got to eat the same thing I was eating. What I was eating, Rambo was eating. And that's what this woman was saying. She's saying, hey, Lord, just give me a crumb. I just need a crumb. Just give me a crumb, Lord. You know how the ministry of the Dominican Republic has happened? It hasn't happened because anybody gave us $1 million. It's happened because all through the years, we've had a crumb here and a crumb there and another crumb here and another crumb there, and half the time we don't even know where it's coming from. The Lord has just sent us those crumbs. And because of that, we have 60 churches started, and 48 are indigenous. We don't have to do anything to help them. But the Lord just keeps letting those crumbs fall in our laps. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He said, well, did Jesus submit to her will? Her will finally met his will. When she came and worshiped him, she said, Lord, help me. Everything was in the right place, and her will finally met his will. That's where our life has to be. We want to do great things for God. We want to see people saved. We want to see lives changed. We're going to have to make sure that whatever we're designed to do for the Lord, we've got to make sure that his will meets our will. Because if our will is outside of what he wants to do, it's not going to happen. Trouble's coming. Problems will continue. We'll be waiting and waiting and waiting. This woman came to Jesus. She worshiped him. She said, Lord, help me. Jesus said, your will matches my will. In the same hour, her daughter was made whole. We need to get on our knees and ask God to empower His Word that we give out, and empower the things that we say to people, and to help us to better understand what He wants us to do. And we just need to ask Him for that help, and ask Him for the crumbs we need to get the job done, because the Lord and Master wants to give us that. I appreciate you, Pastor, letting me come tonight and share with you all, and all. It's been a blessing. We got to have our mission, our personal mission. We need to desire to see a life change. We got to keep going when things, when nobody's interested, it doesn't seem like it's happening. We got to keep letting the Lord know about the need that we have so that He will help us. And then we have to have faith. Faith that does not die. Faith that presses forward and accomplishes the task of